joined together to worship and to hear from your word. And we're thankful, Lord, for your instruction, your word, that helps us to know what you call us to do and helps us to know who you are. And so we just pray, Lord, that as much as your word calls husbands and what it calls husbands to, I pray that we would be faithful to that and we would learn from that. And so we thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. So my name's Evan. I think I met pretty much everyone. Kind of a background for me. Caroline's my wife, obviously, but we've been married for about 8 years, and we actually dated since high school. So I was doing the math, and we've dated for about, or we've been in a relationship for about 15 years. So it's quite a long time. That doesn't speak to like my ability as a husband, but but I wanted to teach on this, and when Albert sent it out for guys to pick a topic, just because it's like, it's just a big privilege for me to be able to teach about it and to think about this and to really to nail down what has God called me as a husband to do, and just to remind myself, and at the same time, just that, you know, I haven't arrived and I want to be learning more. And at the same time, so my confidence isn't in like my ability to teach you something that I know of or that I'm doing super well, but like just that we can look together at God's word and to see what does God call us to, how does he call us to do this as a husband. And so yeah, it's been challenging for me, it's been encouraging. I pray that it is for you as well. So the first thing I want to just kind of cover is a basic overview of just a marriage framework. And so I think in Christianity, there's kind of two basic frameworks. And one is like an egalitarian understanding of marriage, and one is a complementarian. And those are kind of big words, but we could read over the definitions. The first one is egalitarian, is that the husband and wife are equal in value, but there is no distinction in their roles. So essentially, their roles are equal. And a complementary view of marriage is that a husband and wife are equal as well, but there is a distinction in their roles. And so there's a complementary role where the husband leads and the wife is called to submit. And so I just want to lay that out. It's kind of at the front of what our church teaches and where we stand is that we teach a complementary view of marriage. And just emphasizing that men and women are equal in value and dignity and being created in the image of God. But at the same time, God calls us to distinct roles. And one note before we move on is just to know that, like, if this is something new for you or maybe something different from what you've heard of or been taught, yeah, just encourage you to hear from the word and to look at the word and to see what is the truth. And just for myself, too, just to acknowledge that my own background, I wasn't a Christian when I grew up. I wasn't raised in a Christian family. So actually, I didn't even know what these things, as a kid, I wouldn't even know what those words meant at all. And my parents probably had more of an egalitarian structure. And even to go back to like our dating history, like Caroline was the one who asked me out on a date. and I say like she tricked me, but just so like, so all that to say, like, so all that to say is just like, yeah, like it, wherever you're at, yeah, it's fine. And like the Lord has grown us to understand what God's calling is in marriage and grown us to appreciate God's distinct roles. And it has been a process. And so with that said, I want to move on to just laying down three foundations for the husband's roles, three major foundations. Albert covered this somewhat last teaching, so I want to just kind of go over it quickly. But the first one is that we're created in God's image. So the first one is we're created in God's image. And so we see that in Genesis 1 and 2, where God lays out the creation of man. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And so we see that the primary role before marriage even of all mankind is to be the image of God. That we see that Adam came first and was created first before Eve entered and marriage entered. So mankind was first and then marriage. And so the primary role of all mankind is first to glorify God by being his image, by reflecting his glory, his personhood into the world. And so this informs us in some ways into what marriage is, but it also tells us about marriage. And so moving into the purpose of marriage, we see in Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, that just like in creation, marriage is also to glorify God. Paul unfolds in Ephesians 5 that the mystery of marriage is that he is referring to Christ and the church. And so how do we glorify God in our marriage? What does that mean? And how is that different than creation? One is that in a marriage relationship, we get to experience God's grace in a unique way. And so in a way that like everyone can see, even if you're not married, you get to see the picture of Christ and the church in a marriage. But being married, you actually get to experience that. And so you get to know God in a deeper and unique way by being married and living that out. And that's not to say that people who aren't married can't glorify God or glorify God less. But it's just to say that we, being married, get to experience that and experience that joy of knowing God. And so the second way we can glorify God in marriage is that we get to reflect and proclaim God's grace. And so simply put, marriage is putting the gospel on display. So in your marriage, the way you are married together, the way a couple is married as believers, we get to put on display God's love for the church. And so we proclaim and we reflect God's glory. So the third kind of foundational role for a husband is, third foundation for a husband is that roles are given by God. They're God-given. And so these are not suggestions that a husband should lead or be the head. We see in Ephesians 5, 22 to 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." And so it's not a suggestion. It's not something you might want to do or something you could do. But whether a man wants to take responsibility or whether the man actually does take responsibility, it's clear that the man is set by God to be the head of the wife. And so those are the three foundations. Before we get into the... And so with those three foundations, we'll get into the specific roles. And so from the beginning, I just want to lay out the three main roles we're going to be going over is the man or the husband's role and responsibility to in love, to be a leader, to have leadership or headship, to provide and to protect. And so the word love is capitalized just because obviously it kind of permeates through all things. And we'll see that the main call is to love, but there's different like subpoints in a sense. And so the first thing is just going over leadership. And so as a husband, we're called to lead. And we just talked about that this is given by God, that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so we established that this has been given by God, and that the man is called to lead in the relationship. The husband is called to lead. And what does that leadership look like? The first thing we'll say is what leadership is not. And so the first thing is that leadership is not sinful. And so God's authority has been given to the husband, but it does not allow him to lead his wife into sin. The wife's call to submit the husband is tempered by Ephesians 22, which says, as to the Lord. The wife is to submit to your husband as to the Lord. And so if a husband is leading outside of God's command, outside of his will, he is not to be followed. God is to be followed alone, above man. And so, and this is also supported by the foundational truth that we saw, that creation came first. Creation and the call to glorify God is before the glory of marriage. And so we would just say that to sin would not be glorifying to God, and thus is not a legitimate form of leadership. The second thing I want to just go over what leadership is not is that there's kind of two pitfalls in common in marriage, and that if you think about walking on a steep ridge of like biblical husbandship, there's kind of two things that happen often in marriage, where one is neglect and the other is like being domineering or dominating. And the first is neglect, and I think it's pretty straightforward, right? Where the husband neglects his roles. The husband may be lazy, maybe they're busy, maybe they're caught up with things in the world, their work or their hobbies or other relationships, but they neglect to call their call to be a spiritual leader in the family. And so Adam is such a clear example, and poor Adam, right? Like his first sin is like remembered and exemplified forever. But Adam did not protect his wife from spiritual falsehood before Satan, right? He did not lead, but he passively stood by after Eve took the fruit. After Eve took the fruit, it said she also gave some to her husband, and it says who was with her as he ate. So many people think he was standing by as she's hearing from Satan, as she's partaking in sin, and he's not leading, and he's not protecting her. And then when God comes to see them and to really rebuke them, Adam doesn't take ownership of the sin. He doesn't take ownership, but actually he blame shifts. He says, the woman you gave me caused, you know, ate the fruit. And so Adam clearly fails and neglects his role as a leader, as a protector, as a provider of his wife. And so the other pitfall, falling off the other side, would be to be domineering. And so instead of neglecting authority, there is a domineering or dominating authority, which crosses the line. And so to make it clear, a husband is never to lead by abusive power. A husband is never to lead by any form of abuse, no form of manipulation or fear or coercion or bullying. A husband is to lead without sin. And so these verses make it clear. Colossians 3:19, it says that husbands are to love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And so it's just clearly laid out. And to be honest, this is probably the greatest concern of egalitarians, and their critique is that the inequality of roles creates an inequality in their view of value, and thus leads to an abuse of power, or can lead to an abuse of power. And so it's just important to acknowledge that that is definitely a possibility within the complementarian view, because we have sin, because we are prone to abuse our power in sin. But we are not called to throw it out, because this is the structure that God has called us to. And at the same time, we shouldn't be we shouldn't lightly take away this command. We should hold this even with a higher fear. We should be trembling at the responsibility that we have, and make sure that we don't abuse our power, and that we don't go outside of the will and command of God. And so it's all the more important to know what is godly leadership, what is the husband's roles. And so that brings us to what leadership is. And so we established that the husband has been assigned headship and leadership. We established kind of what things you are not to do as a leader, as a husband. So what is leadership? And if you think about leadership, often when we see Jesus' concept of leadership, when we see Jesus' model of leadership, it's not like what you might think in the world. If you go to work, if you see leadership in the world, it's often charismatic or loud or dominant. But we see in Jesus' life and also in his teaching that the way he mainly led was by sacrificial serving. And so we can read here in Matthew 20. It says, but Jesus called to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But 26 says, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. So even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so the core of the husband's leadership is to humbly and sacrificially love his wife. And really, leadership kind of bleeds into the other responsibilities. And so we'll kind of see how being a godly leader also includes loving and protecting and providing. And so we'll move on to the second one. The second point, the role of a husband is to love as Christ loved the church and to provide. And so basically for the rest of the time, we're just going to be walking through Ephesians 5. So if you want to look in your Bible, or it'll be up here in the beginning. But Ephesians 5, 25 to 27 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And so husbands are first called to love as Christ loved the church. And what does that mean? Husbands are called, if we think about how did Christ love the church? He died for the church, right? He died selflessly giving himself for the church, for our sin, And even in doing that, it did not add to his essential glory. It did not add to his personhood. It magnified his glory, but it did not add to his essential glory. And so the highest and only pure act of sacrificial love was seen by Christ. And so he calls us to that similar love, that we are called to put off our selfishness, put off our selfish desires, and put on the true selfless love and interest in our wife. And so Philippians 2, 3 to 4 captures this well. It says, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so this means that a husband is called to die. He's called to die to himself for his wife's benefit. And so whether that means dying to your pride or your preferences or your selfish desires, we're called to die to serve and love our wife. And it's not just like we're just like this dying robot, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to give her everything all the time. But this is just the general pattern of sacrificial love, that we are we exist and we are leading by serving our wife and loving our wife sacrificially. And so I think this is one of the, probably the one of the first things I realized when I got married. I think Albert mentioned this last week as well. When you get married, you just so quickly realize how selfish you are, right? And I think because when you're living independently on your own, yeah, like you agree with yourself, right? You're like, what do you want to watch? You want to watch the Lakers? Like, yeah, let's do it. And then, you know, like, yeah, you're like, what's interesting to you? Like, NBA? Like, who's getting traded? Like, yeah, like, I agree. Like, you know, should I stay up late? Like, why not? So, like, there's nobody confronting you. There's no one questioning you, right? And so when you get married, it's so apparently clear. I think especially for men, just how selfish we are. And it just shows that all of a sudden you have someone who's living with you 24/7, and she's your best friend, she's your love, but she's also your roommate who's like, hey, why are you not washing the dishes? And she's your accountability partner, like, why are you watching the NBA so much? And but yeah, so it's someone who really loves you deeply but also doesn't always agree with you. And so we see that we're called to love as Christ loved the church. We're called to die to ourselves. And just as a warning, like, selfishness and pride, I think those two things are so closely intertwined. And probably the greatest reasons why you will fail as a man, fail as a husband in your marriage, is those two things. And so, it's really important for us to take this to heart as men. The second thing within these verses is the call to provide. And these verses make it clear that Jesus' goal for the church is to make her holy for himself. Right? 27 says, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And so Jesus' goal for the church is holiness. And so in the same way as a husband, your chief goal should be your wife's spiritual well-being. And so you are definitely called to provide. Yes, both physically and spiritually. I don't think we have time to get into the physical calling. And it's pretty straightforward that, you know, as men, we're called to work hard. We're called to provide physically, materially for our family. And that is not separated from the spiritual aspect. But overall, and the main focus is the holiness of your wife, the spiritual well-being of your wife. And so this means just making every effort as a husband to support her spiritual walk, to encourage her in the faith, to give her time and space to pursue the Lord, to lift her up when she's discouraged, to help her carefully and humbly, to correct her if needed. And so 1 Thessalonians 5, I think, is a good reminder and help to us. It says, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. And so just a wise and godly husband leads and loves his wife by discerning and applying the right kind of ministry that is needed for his wife at the right time for her specific situation, so that she can walk with Christ, so that she can continue to walk with the Lord. And so with that said, we'll go to the third view, and that is our third responsibility, and that is to love your wife as your own body and protect her. So Ephesians 5, 28 to 30, I'll read it. It says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And so the first point we'll talk about is protect. And so as husbands, we're called to protect. Ephesians 5:20, it says, love your wife as your own body. And it also says, nourish and cherish her. And the command just echoes the great commandment. The great commandment that after the great commandment, Jesus says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no commandment greater than these. And so God knows our ability. God knows that we know how to love ourselves. God knows that we have a natural bent to care for ourselves. You know, we eat, we enjoy rest. We do everything we need to do. We take a shower and we take care of our bodies. We know how to do that. And so, it's pretty straightforward, but in the same way, God is calling you as a husband to care and protect, your wife. And so, we're called to care and protect your marriage diligently and faithfully, just as you, would care for yourself, that you are called to, protect from anything that would distract or diminish your love, for your wife. And then Ephesians 5:25 just kind of keys us in to the extent that we are to go to protect our wife. It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so we're to go to the point of death, whether that be physically or spiritually, we're to go to great lengths to love our wife, to serve her. And these verses just help us to understand that a little more. And so the second thing we can say is that we're called to nourish and cherish our wife. And so we're not just called to fulfill a duty. We're not just called to understand these things so we can just check off the boxes and do them. But we're called to love our wife, to cherish, to delight in your wife, right? And so as a person, as any person, I don't think anybody just does their duty to eat, right? Like, you don't just eat raw kale every day and bake or boiled chicken. Like, oh, that fulfills my duty. Some weird people do that. Like, I probably would do that, actually. But but yeah, you understand what it means to eat a good meal, to nourish and cherish your body or yourself. And so in the same way, we're called to delight in our wife and to cherish them. And so we're called to consider what brings our wives joy, consider what makes them feel loved, encouraged. And this is honestly a big area that I'm striving in, we're trying to work on. And it's just taking a true interest in my wife and also providing opportunities for her to grow in those interests and desires and ministry. And so for Caroline, that's meant like, you know, at some point she has loved me by learning how to snowboard, which is crazy for her because she says she's really uncoordinated. Or just like supporting me going to like basketball games when I'm terrible and we lose. But yeah, she enjoys doing that as a way of loving me. And so in the same way, you know, I've learned to enjoy watching basketball, UCLA basketball with her and looking at sewing patterns. I'm still working on that, like trying to be genuinely interested. she's like, what do you think about this? I'm like, ah. It's a thing, yeah. Or just, yeah, like, we ran a half marathon recently because my wife, like, enjoys that. And even though, I don't know, it's torture, but... so, yeah, just enjoying different things together. And really, most importantly, of course, is spiritually. And this just means, yeah, me giving up my time and energy and just trying to serve her and create space or time within a busy schedule, taking care of three young kids and having the opportunity to... study something, having the opportunity to pursue ministry with sisters in the church, and just encouraging her and loving her in that way. And so as a man especially, I think this is such an important call to us because of the nature of our calling, we are more active, right? We're more active generally working. We're more active generally even in ministry often. And so it can get mixed up where we make often maybe life about us, that we think that our career is so important and we neglect to see the importance of I neglect to see the importance of my wife at home and just the work she's doing and how important that is to the Lord and to our kids, and just neglecting or even going to the point of maybe not obviously not explicitly but in some way devaluing our wives and their calling. And so we just have to remember that our goal together in marriage is that we're striving together. We have one goal, to glorify God. And we have individual gifts. We have individual callings in some sense, but we're called in one universal sense, one united sense, to glorify God together. And really, it is a joy, I think, in Christ-likeness that... and one, I've been so encouraged. I don't know if you guys knew Bill Couch, but he would just tell me of the joy of, like... he told me once about the joy of him... learning to wash the dishes for his wife. And he told me he wanted to wash the dishes because he saw how much joy it brought his wife to like take that responsibility for her. And so really, I think only in a Christ-like marriage do you see that reflected, in that you can find real joy and real honest and earnest joy in your spouse's joy. And so that's what we're called to strive for. And so the last two things are priority and union. And these are kind of like supporting roles or responsibilities. And based off of Ephesians 5, 31 to 33, and so I'll read that. It says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And so the first thing we can say is that there's a priority. There's a clear priority for the husband to love his wife above friends, above coworkers, and even above usually the most the closest relationship besides your wife often is your father and mother, your parents. And so a husband is called to make your wife the primary confidant, the primary comfort in your life, the primary influence in your life, and just your best friend. And so I think one side note in this is that, especially for men, I think we need to learn, and I've been learning this and trying to learn this, is just that we need to lean into sharing our life with our wives, right? And so I think, especially me, I'm not prone to, you know, I come home and Caroline's like, "How was your day?" And I was like, "Well, like, nobody died. Like, it's good. Like, it was like, it's fine." But she's like, "Well, how did you feel?" And I was like, "I don't know. Like, I was hungry, you know?" So like, so just being able to share with your wife, whether that be your feelings, your desires, but also especially your fears and your failures and your sin, and sharing your joys and just involving your wife, in that union, and as her, she being the priority of your life. And so the last thing is just thinking about a one flesh union. And Ephesians 5:31 says, the two shall become one flesh. Ephesians 5:28 talks about how he who loves his wife loves himself. And so there's just a close knitness of marriage, that you are one. You're one in marriage. And so there's some application of this where we think about is, whatever happens to your wife will directly affect you. And so your love and your care for your wife, it means that you're sharing in her joys, you're sharing in her sorrows. And one insightful thing I've learned is that, and very applicable thing is that her problems become your problems. And so her problems become your problems, and ultimately you're responsible. And so if you think back again to Adam and Eve, Eve is the one, she did take the fruit first. But when God comes to call them, he comes to Adam, right? He comes to Adam. He comes to Adam to answer for Eve and his sin. He comes to Adam as the head. And so this often looks like, if your wife is struggling, if your wife is having a hard time with work, ministry, with the house, with taking care of your kids, and maybe she's unable to fulfill her roles, this means that our initial reaction should not be to criticize or to complain. As a sacrificial leader, our response should be that her problems are our problems, and that as a lead, as a leader, and as loving your wife, and having a union with your wife, we're called to lead in addressing the problem. We're called to lead by taking on the problem as our own. And so, as one author said, he said it like this. He said, "If your wife has toe fungus, then you also have toe fungus. If your wife had a bad day with the kids, then you also had a bad day with the kids." And so, just an understanding. A vision for one flesh, understanding like this. And so this also works in the inverse, in the opposite way, in that everything that you do will directly affect your wife. And so perhaps the greatest way you can serve and love your wife is first be abiding in Christ, and for you to be drawing near to the Lord, for you to be spiritually strong first, so that you can feed and just be an example of Christ's love, and how you should be walking to your wife. And so it just really keys us into what it means to read your Bible. Like, you're reading the Bible to be closer to the Lord, to grow, but you're also reading the Bible for your wife, for your family. You're no longer fighting sin just for yourself. Every sin affects your family, affects your wife now. Your strengths, your weaknesses, your successes and failures, everything is shared in a one flesh union. And so the lack of your spiritual life or the vibrance of your spiritual life has direct implications on your wife and your family. And so not directly related, but 1 Timothy 4:16 talks about, it just says, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so just not neglecting to pursue the Lord in the fullness of our hearts, both in what we believe and also how we live it out before our wife and before others. And so just to kind of summarize where we went and where we're going, where we've been is we laid out the marriage framework that our church in essence teaches a complementary view of marriage. We went over the three foundational roles of a husband. So we're created in God's image. The purpose of marriage is to glorify God and that God has given us roles. And then we looked at some of the responsibilities or roles of a husband, and that is to, in love, we are called to lead, to provide, and to protect. And in all of those things, to love sacrificially. And so I want to encourage you with a couple things for the men. I think if you think about this, we can essentially sum up the role of a husband to be sacrificially dying and loving your wife. And so if you think about it, it's hard to do that with anyone. It's hard to do that just in the day-to-day life. And really, if you think about it, it's impossible. Because to love as Christ loved the church, it's an impossible task in our flesh. And so it's just all the more a calling for us to be abiding in Christ, to be running him to him daily, to be strengthened by him. As John 15 says, abide in me. Christ says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so just remembering, apart from Christ, that we can't fulfill these roles. Apart from Christ, we can't love our wives sacrificially. Apart from Christ, we don't even want to do that. And so we need his empowering, we need his strength, we need his grace daily to do that. And the second thing is that Jesus will accomplish his will. And so Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, it says that husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So if you notice, all of what is being done to the church is Christ, right? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And so our confidence as husbands, though this is a weighty task, a weighty role, our confidence is in Christ. Christ is the one who clearly sanctifies, cleanses, presents the church spotless and holy. And so, yes, we're called to do all we can to encourage our wife, to fulfill these roles, to engage our wife spiritually, to help her along in her sanctification. But at the same time, we need to remember that we're not Christ, right? We're not the Savior. Jesus is. And we need to daily point our wife to Christ, to the Lord, and commit to praying for our wives daily. And trusting to God, in God who is the one who is able to complete the work he began. And so I hope for men, and this doesn't weigh you down, I hope you see that within the means of God's grace and his calling, that marriage is a beautiful thing, and that really, like, going back to the purpose of marriage, that we get to experience God's love more fully, and that also as we live these things out truly, it reflects God's glory and his grace through his gospel to the world and to each other. So yeah, let me pray, and then if you guys have any questions we can go there. Father, we just so thankful for your love for us, and just being reminded that Christ gave himself up for us, and that he continues to sanctify, he will continue to sanctify, and he will glorify those who believe in Christ. And we pray, Lord, for us as husbands, that you would help us to continue to be strengthened by that grace, and to continue to walk according to your word, that we would mind the depths of your word so that we would understand what we are called to, and that we would strive with all of our heart to obey it and to keep it, and that you would be glorified in our marriages, and we pray that our loves would be well, our wives would be loved well, and that you would be honored by that. And so we pray all this, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Cool. So if you have any questions...